In Numbers chapter 22, verse 38, it says, "And Balaam said unto Balak, Lo, I am come to thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak." Balaam was going to curse Israel. And I'm here and I want to bless you, God's children. So let's pray. Dear Father, please put the words in my mouth that I may speak what you would have me to speak. Let not any of my words be spoken, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The topic today is growing faith. Can we of ourselves grow our faith? No, it is God that grows our faith. What is faith? The way it was put to me is faith is putting the word of God into action, taking God's word for what it is, and believing that what he says is true. Hebrews chapter 11. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Going to verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was found because God translated him, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We need to diligently seek God every day of our lives. You know, I have had many experiences in my life that strengthen my faith. And one of them is this story that I have to tell. When I was a young man, when I was younger, I used to like to play with fire all the time. I would always go to the backyard and go in the bushes and light a fire with some cardboard or whatever I could find to play with fire. And I did this one day, and it was during a drought, and it hadn't rained for about 2 months or so, a month or something like that. Everything was dry. If a forest fire would have caught, you know, it would seem impossible for that fire to be put out. Well, I went back there this day, and I decided to play with some fire. And I lit the fire, and I watched it go out. I figured, it's out. I'll leave now. And I left, and we were about to go to, you know, go get water at the park. And my dad smelled some smoke. He's like, "Simeon, have you been playing with fire?" I was like, no, Dad, I haven't been playing with fire. I haven't, no. He's like, so we started to walk down the driveway. And right about that time, my dad turned around, and we turned around. And in the backyard, flames were shooting about 40 feet in the air, covering an area of about 20 feet. And I was like, at that moment, I was like, "Oh, Dad, I'm sorry, I was playing with fire, forgive me." He wasn't even paying attention to that. He picked up a shovel that was lying there and a bucket of water, and he started running back there. And me and my brother immediately fell on his knees and started praying. I didn't know what to do, so I jumped on the phone. My mom was in Kona at that time. And I called my mom, and I was like, "Mom, I don't know what to do. There's a fire. I don't know if I should call 911 or not. I don't know what to do." She's like, "Let's pray." So we all started praying. And before my dad could make it to the back of the property to, you know, do what he could do to put out that fire, the wind stopped. and the wind had been blowing strong in a certain direction. The wind stopped and the flame shot straight up in the air. And we could see this as we're standing there. And for about 5 seconds, there's no wind. Then all of a sudden, the wind started blowing in the complete opposite direction. And that fire went out. And my dad continued to, pat out the little flames that were left with his shovel. I thank God for that experience because it taught me the power of prayer and believing in God and believing that He will answer prayers, even if we have made mistakes. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We're to trust in God. We're to trust in his word, because his word shows us what we need to do in life. It's a guidance for us. It shows us the path that we need to take. We're not our own. We're God's. Everything that we have is God's. Everything that we have in this earth, the money that we have, the job, our families, everything we have is God's. To prove that point, I would like to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I would also like to take you to John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. This is Jesus talking. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. It says over and over again, we can do nothing without God. In a book called Faith and Works, on page 26, it says, God has given men faculties and capabilities. God works and cooperates with the gifts he has imparted to man. And man, by being a partaker of the divine nature and doing the work of Christ, may be an overcomer and win eternal life. The Lord does not propose to do the work. He has given man powers to do. Man's part must be done. He must be a laborer together with God, yoking up with Christ, learning his meekness, his lowliness. God is the all-controlling power. He bestows the gifts, man receives them, and acts with the power by the grace of God as a living agent. God gives us these powers. God gives us the power to work. God gives us the power to get up every day and to worship him and to believe that he gives us everything. There's a story in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. Forgive me, I'm going to move fast because I have a lot to share here. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. This Pharisee was trusting in himself, in his own power, to do good. We cannot trust in ourselves. The Bible says so. Verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In the book Christ's Object Lessons, on page 159, there is a couple of paragraphs that I would like to read to you. The prayer of the publican was heard because it showed dependence reaching forth to lay hold upon omnipotence. Self to the publican appeared nothing but shame. Thus it must be seen by all who seek God. By faith, faith that renounces all self-trust, the needy suppliant is to lay hold upon infinite power. No outward observances can take the place of simple faith and entire renunciation of self. No man can empty himself of self. We can only consent for Christ to accomplish the work. Then the language of the soul will be, Lord, take my heart, for I cannot give it. It is thy property. Keep it pure, for I cannot keep it for thee. Save me in spite of myself, my weak, unchristlike self. Mold me, fashion me, raise me into a pure and holy atmosphere where the rich currents of thy love can flow through my soul. Jesus wants to save us. We cannot save ourselves. The Word of God, it shows us the path that we need to take. That's why it's very important for us to study the Bible and wake up every morning and open the Word of God and pray to God and ask Him for the Holy Spirit so that we might understand His Word. Faith and works. I have here on verse 17 a couple more paragraphs that I would like to read. How much do we believe from the heart? Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. This means to be much in the Lord with prayer. We need to constantly be in prayer to God, because from Him is the power that we need to overcome the things in this world, to overcome ourselves. This means to be much with the Lord in prayer. To those who have educated themselves in skepticism and have cherished unbelief, weaving questioning doubts into their experience, are under conviction of the Spirit of God. They see it to be their personal duty to confess their unbelief. They open their hearts to accept the light sent them and throw themselves by faith over the line from sin to righteousness, from doubt to faith. They consecrate themselves unreservedly to God to follow His light in the place of the sparks of their own kindling. As they maintain their consecration, they will see increased light, and the light will continue to grow brighter and brighter until the perfect day. The unbelief which is cherished in the soul has a bewitching power. The seeds of doubt that they have been sowing will produce their harvest, but they must continue to dig up every root of unbelief. When these poisonous plants are pulled up, they cease to grow for want of nourishment in word and action. The soul must have the precious plants of faith and love put in the soil of the heart and enthroned there. We must not cherish unbelief in our hearts. We must believe that God is, and that He will help those that diligently seek Him. We must diligently seek God. And God has provided a way for us to seek Him, and that's in His Word. It is very important to stay in the Word of God. I want to share with you that all power is God's. Any power that we have is not of our own, is not of ourselves. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 and 12. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 and 12. It says, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. If you want strength to overcome the trials that you are facing and the things that you are facing on this earth, go to God. He has it. It says it right here in his word. Believe his word. And that is what faith consists of. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, also talks about the power that God has and the power that he wants to give us. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus came and spake unto him, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus says, all power is his, and it's been given to him by the Father. And he also says that he is with us to the end of the world. All we have to do is ask and believe, and we will receive that power to overcome. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. To overcome the world, we need to exercise this faith, the faith that God has given us. Jesus wants to come and live in our hearts. He says, he stands at the door and knock. If any man hear his voice, open the door. Open the door to your hearts to Jesus. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The power is there. All we need to do is ask and believe that he is going to give us that power to overcome. Christ wants to be in us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, 1 and 2. Romans chapter 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of glory of God. There is glory in Christ. He came to this earth to show us the way, to show us an example that we might follow. He showed us that we can have a connection with God, and we can have a, and that connection is through him, I'd like to read a paragraph from the book Education, page 253. Faith is trusting in God, believing that He loves us and knows best what is for our good. Thus, instead of our own, it leads us to choose His way. In place of ignorance, it accepts His wisdom. In place of our weakness, His strength. In place of our sinfulness, His righteousness. Our lives, ourselves, are already His. Faith acknowledges His ownership and accepts its blessing. Truth, uprightness, purity have been pointed out as secrets of life's success. It is faith that puts us in possession of these principles. Every good impulse or aspiration is the gift of God. Faith receives from God the life that it can alone produce true growth and efficiency. How to exercise faith should be made very plain. To every promise of God, there are conditions. If we are willing to do His will, all His strength is ours. Whatever gift He promises is in the promise itself. The seed is the word of God. As surely as the oak is in the acorn, so surely is the gift of God in His promise. If we receive the promise, we have the gift. Faith that enables us to receive God's gift is a gift itself, of which some measure is imparted to every human being. We all have a little bit of faith in us already, and God has given that to us. It grows as exercise in appropriating the Word of God. Faith grows as we read the Word of God, believe what it says, and put it into our lives. It grows as exercised in appropriating the Word of God. In order to strengthen faith, we must often bring it in contact with the Word. In the study of the Bible, the student should be led to see the power of God's Word. In the creation, He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He calleth those things which be not as though they were. For when He calls them, they are. If we believe God's Word, all we need to do is ask. He tells us what He wants to give us. He wants to give us the power to live right in Him. He wants to give us all these things that are in the Word of God, all the promises that are there. We must believe and ask God to put them in our lives, and He will. We must believe that He is the Creator and that the Word of God is a creating power, and He wants to create goodness in us. We do not have it of ourselves. Faith begins with walking with God. We must walk with God by having a daily relationship with Him, by studying His Word every day and praying to Him all throughout the day and believing that Word. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul? If you purpose in your heart to serve God with all your heart, He will give you power and He will give you strength to do what it is that He requires of us. In the book Messages to Young People, page 102, there is a paragraph that I would like to read to you to help us better understand a little bit more of what faith is and how it helps us. The follower of Christ must have faith abiding in the heart, for without this, it is impossible to please God. Faith is the hand that takes hold of infinite help. It is the medium by which the renewed heart is made to beat in unison with the heart of Christ. Jesus has came down to this world to pay the price for sin. And the price of sin is death. Without Jesus, we have to pay that price. But with Jesus in our hearts, we don't have to pay that price. Enoch was a man that decided to walk with God. He decided to walk with God, and he walked so closely with God that he walked right into heaven. God opened the doors, and Enoch walked with him, and he is still walking with him to this day. Jesus says to walk as he walked. Turn with me to John 15, verse 10. John chapter 15, verse 10. Jesus has set the example for us. All we have to do is search in the Word of God for this example. And it is throughout all the pages of the Bible. It shows Jesus throughout this whole Bible. All we have to do is search and believe that is the truth. John chapter 15, verse 10. Oh, I'm sorry, I turned to the wrong verse. John chapter 15, verse 10. It says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." There are several times in the Bible that Jesus says, "even as I." And there's also some verses that says, "even as he," talking about Jesus. So this shows us that we are to follow Jesus' example. He relied on his Father for everything because he came down into this earth and lived in a human body and experienced the same things that we experience. There's a verse in Hebrews that says that we have a high priest that has experienced the same things that we have experienced and experienced the temptations that we experience every day. If you want to overcome sin and temptation, walk as Jesus walked. We must relinquish our will to Jesus, to give ourselves totally to him. If we give ourselves totally to Jesus, he will make his will our will and his thoughts our thoughts. We'll be one with him. Isaiah chapter 55. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Beginning with verse 6. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." Our ways are not God's ways. That's why we must study the Word of God, so that we may know what the ways of God are. Psalms chapter 51, verse 10. This is one of my favorite verses. Psalms 51. 1, verse 10. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." We are to ask God to create his heart in us, because our hearts are deceitful and wicked, and we cannot understand the right way to go unless we ask God to put his heart in us. Turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If you want to be lifted up before God, if you want God to lift you up, humble yourselves, and he will lift you up. We need Jesus. We need him more than anything else in this whole entire world. In Christ's Object Lessons, page 315, it says this. This is talking about a parable that Jesus spoke of about the wedding feast. The man who came to the feast without a wedding garment represents the condition of many in our world today. They profess to be Christians and lay claims to the blessings and privileges of the gospel. Yet they feel no need of transformation of character. They have never felt repentance for sin. They do not realize their need of Christ or exercise faith in him. We need to realize our need of Jesus, and we need to exercise faith in him. They have not overcome their hereditary or cultivated tendencies to wrongdoing. Yet they think they are good enough in themselves, and they rest upon their own merits instead of trusting in Christ. Hearers of the word, they come to the banquet, but they do not put on the robes of Christ's righteousness. We need to put on the robes of Christ's righteousness and not come in our own righteousness. One of the things that grows our faith is the trials. James 1, verse 2 to 4, says, my brethren, count it joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you lack, Jesus is willing to give. All he wants you to do is ask. In Revelations 3, it talks about gold tried in the fire. To become what Jesus wants us to be, we have to be tried. And we have to face trials. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to give thanks for the trials that we face, because the trials are what bring us closer to God. It is what shows us that we cannot do nothing on our own, but we need to depend wholly on God. God is waiting for the manifestation of his character. In Christ's Object Lessons, page 69, it says, when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Christ is waiting with longing, desire, for the manifestation of himself in his church. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. Jesus is waiting for us to depend wholly on him so that we can become like him. And it is only through his power that we might become like him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. First John chapter 2, verse 6. And it's talking about Jesus. He that saith he abideth in him also ought also to walk even as he walked. That's talking about walking as Jesus walked. That's why it's very important for us to study the Word of God and search it to understand how Jesus walked, that we might walk in the same way. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. If you truly want to live your life like Jesus, ask God and he will show you the way. And it is in his word. God says he will never leave us or forsake us. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. In every trial that you face, in every hard time that you have to go through, God promises that he will be there. Believe that promise. Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Hebrews. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he saith, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. God promises that he will never leave us. He promises that. Cling to that promise and believe that what he says is true. In Daniel chapter 3, there's a story about three Hebrew young men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They purposed in their heart to only serve God. And when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, made a law that everybody had to worship this image that he set up, they purposed in their heart that they was not going to worship this image, and they did not bow down. And Nebuchadnezzar was angry. And he brought them before him and said, you know, I want you to worship this image. Just bow down before it, and I won't kill you. They said to him something in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O God, O king, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In the book Prophets and Kings, there's a few paragraphs that I would like to read to you. On verse 511 to 513. By the deliverance of his faithful servants, the Lord declared that he takes his stand with the oppressed and rebukes all earthly powers that rebel against the authority of heaven. The three Hebrews declared to the whole nation of Babylon that their faith in him, who they worshipped. They relied on God. In the hour of their trial, they remembered the promise, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame be kindled upon thee. Isaiah 43:2. In a marvelous manner, their faith in the living word had been honored in the sight of all. The tidings of their wonderful deliverance were carried to many countries by the representatives of the different nations that had been invited by Nebuchadnezzar to the dedication. Through the faithfulness of his children, God was glorified in all the earth. Important are the lessons to be learned from the experience of the Hebrew youth on the plain of Dura. In this our day, many of God's servants, though innocent of wrongdoing, will be given over to suffer humiliation and abuse at the hands of those who, inspired by Satan, are filled with envy and religious bigotry. Especially will the wrath of man be aroused against those who hallow the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. And at last, a universal decree will denounce these as deserving of death. The season of distress before God's people will call for their faith. The season of distress before God's people will call for a faith that will not falter. His children must make it manifest that he is the only object of their worship, and that no consideration, even that of life itself, can induce them to make the least concession to false worship. To the loyal heart, the commands of sinful, finite man will sink into insignificance beside the word of the eternal God. Truth will be obeyed, though the result be imprisonment, exile, or death. As in the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so in the closing period of earth's history, the Lord will work mightily in behalf of those who stand steadfastly for the right. He who walked with the Hebrew worthies in the fiery furnace will be with his followers wherever they are. His abiding presence will comfort and sustain. In the midst of the time of troubles as such as have not been since there was a nation, his chosen ones will stand unmoved. Satan, with all his hosts of evil, cannot destroy the weakest of God's saints. Angels that excel in strength will protect them, and in their behalf, Jehovah will reveal himself as a God of gods, able to save to the uttermost those who put their trust in him. In this book, Patriarchs and Prophets, there's a chapter called The Fiery Furnace. If you have time, this is a very important chapter to read. It shows us that God is going to be there through all our trials, and that when the time comes, he will deliver us. And even if we do face death, even if we do have to die, so be it. Because we know that there is something greater than anything in this earth, and that is to live eternally with God. And that's something that I want to do. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22 says, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." This is an endurance. This is an endurance race, if you would like to call it that. Second Timothy 2, verse 3. It says the same thing in a little bit different words. You know, this is a battle. On this earth, this is a battle between good and evil that we are all facing. Every day of our lives, we're facing this battle. And I don't want to be a soldier on Jesus' side. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. No man that warreth tangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Jesus has chosen us to be a soldier on his side. Now it is up to us to choose whether we want to be on Jesus' side. I choose Jesus, because there is nothing in this earth, there is nothing that can compare to what Jesus has for us and to the peace that he puts in our hearts. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 says, "My brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I've made many mistakes in my lifetime, and these mistakes, I sigh and cry to God all the time about them, you know, because it really, you know, hurts my heart that the things that I have done is what Jesus hung on the cross for. But it says, we need to ask forgiveness, and then forgetting, believe God forgives us, and forgetting those things which are behind, pressing toward the mark. God has a high calling toward us. He wants us to be his servants. We must do everything that we can in our power to obey God and to be his servants. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. As I come to a close here. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house." Jesus has showed us the example. He came to this earth to show us the way, to show us the way to heaven, to show us the way to God. Let us follow this path. Follow the path that Jesus has marked out for us with all our hearts. Christ's Object Lessons, page 146. It says, "Take the word of Christ as your assurance. Has he not invited you to come unto him? Never allow yourself to talk in a hopeless, discouraged way. If you do, you will lose much. By looking at appearances and complaining when difficulties and pressure come, you give evidence of a sickly, enfeebled faith. Talk and act as if your faith was invincible. The Lord is rich in resources. He owns the world. Look heavenward in faith. Look to him who has light, power, and efficiency. Everything in this world is God's. And he allows us to go through things to perfect our character so that we might be his. He allows us to go through these trials. One thing I was thinking, and I was about to go to sleep, and it just came to me. What was the only thing that was destroyed when the three Hebrews were thrown into the slaves? Their captors were destroyed. The men that threw them in, the flame was so hot that it killed them. And also their bonds. As we go through the fiery trials and through the hardships that come in this earth, the only thing that is destroyed is the bondage of sin. Christ's Object Lessons, page 315. I want to read. I'm about to close. here, but I want to read these quotes in Christ's Object Lessons. Is another very powerful book. If you get a chance, read this book. Oh, I read this. Excuse me. I'll read it again. The man who came to the feast without a wedding garment represents the condition of many in our world today. They profess to be Christians and lay claim to the blessings and privileges of the gospel. They feel no need of transformation of character. They have never felt true repentance for sin. They do not realize their need of Christ or exercise faith in Him. Realize that your need in Christ. In Acts of the Apostles, page 563, there's a quote. Let the recording angels write the history of the holy struggles and conflicts of the people of God. Let them record their prayers and tears. But let not God be dishonored by the declaration from human lips, I am sinless, I am holy. Sanctified lips will never give utterance to such presumptuous words. The Apostle Paul had been caught up to the third heaven and had seen and heard things that could not be uttered. Yet his unassuming statement is, not as though I have already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after. Let the angels of heaven write Paul's victories in fighting the good fight of faith. Let heaven rejoice in his steadfast tread heavenward, and that, keeping the prize in view, he counts every other consideration dross or nothing. Angels rejoice to tell his triumph, but Paul makes no boast of his attainments. The attitude of Paul is the attitude of every follower of Christ should take as he urges his way onward in the strife for the immortal crown. Christ did not teach that salvation was to be earned by obedience, but obedience was the fruit of faith and love. Ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. If we abide in Christ, if the love of God dwells in the heart, our feelings, our thoughts, our actions will be in harmony with the will of God. The sanctified heart is in harmony with the precepts of God's law. There are many who, though striving to obey God's commandments, have little peace or joy. This lack in their experience is the result of failure to exercise faith. We need to exercise faith. And if you think of it, it's like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it becomes weaker. But if you exercise it, it becomes stronger. They walk, as it were, in a salt land, a parched wilderness. They claim little when they might claim much. For there is no limit to the promises of God. Such ones do not correctly represent the sanctification that comes through obedience to the truth. The Lord would have all his sons and daughters happy, peaceful, and obedient. Through the exercise of faith, the believer comes into possession of these blessings. Through faith, every deficiency of character may be supplied, every defilement cleaned, every fault corrected, every excellence developed. Everything we need is in the Word of God. Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find. This also says, ye have not because ye ask not. Ask, believing that ye shall receive the power and the wisdom that God gives to overcome. Thank you, my brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm.